Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Our message today is called Joseph's Story. Our text, Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th through the 21st verses. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Whenever the nativity story is told, the central character, besides Jesus, of course, is Mary, his mother. Hers is a wonderful story, and she is clearly an amazing woman of faith, whose yes to God is a model for believers everywhere, the epitome of trust and surrender. Mary's story is central to our lives, not just for Catholics, who have made her the greatest of all Christian saints, but for all believers, affirmed in the power of miracles and the Holy Spirit. But in concentrating on Mary, we create a problem for ourselves. When we focus so much on Mary, we tend to overlook her mate, Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. He stands quietly over the manger in the shadow of the Nativity, a silent, passive character who is often treated like he doesn't really matter. Joseph's role in Jesus' birth is upstaged by the angels, the wise men, and even the cattle. Joseph doesn't even make it in most of the paintings that show mother and child. Well, I'd like to change that today. At a time when fatherhood is reportedly shrinking in its societal significance, according to statistics, only a third of American children live with their biological fathers. At a time when far too many African American fathers are being maligned and slandered for their so-called inattention to family, perhaps spending some time looking at Joseph can give us some spiritual insight, not only on fatherhood, but in what it means to walk in faith. Maybe it's time to see what there is to learn from the modest story of Joseph, not just for men, but for all of us. Because if ever there was a biblical character who faced his own kind of image issues, who certainly was not appreciated and probably struggled with many doubts and anxieties, if ever there was a biblical character who I believe we misjudge, it was Joseph. Joseph is like so many men in our lives. He didn't talk much. He wasn't prone to share his emotions or update us on every change in spiritual growth. He was like the men who don't sit around in little clusters like women do. You know, men don't go to the bathroom together. They keep things to themselves. And at first glance, that kind of sums up the story of Joseph, because the Bible doesn't tell us much. Just the fact that he was born into the lineage of King David, a poor carpenter about to be married. That's all we know until we probe a little deeper into today's text. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Mary is pregnant, and while we know how and why, in this moment, Joseph doesn't know. All he knows is that he is not the father. Can you imagine the first thoughts that go through his mind? This is life-changing information, not easy to bear. Jesus is born in one of life's most socially stigmatizing ways, and for any husband or fiancé to be confronted with this and not know about it, well, that's monumental. It's obvious that Joseph is devastated because he plans to leave Mary. Word about Mary's mysterious pregnancy would no doubt spread quickly. And while the text doesn't explain, I'm pretty certain to the neighbors and people around Nazareth, Joseph would be made to look like a fool. Yes, he wanted out of the relationship. But, and this is where we begin to understand his character, the text says he plans to break his engagement quietly. His concern is not to expose Mary to public disgrace. Why? And this is critical to what God wants us to know about Joseph. As a matter of fact, this is all God wants us to know. Joseph, verse 19, was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. There is value in righteousness. Now, righteousness can be defined in two basic ways. There is the standard of the law, honesty and ethics. Then there is the standard of God. The former is supposed to flow from the latter, but it doesn't always work that way. Those of us who have been saved by God are called to live righteously in conformity with God's will. When most modern Christians think of a righteous man, we think of qualities like being a good husband, a patient father, a loyal worker, a good friend. But I think the little we know about Joseph takes us a little deeper into the meaning of righteousness. Joseph's single decision not to bring public disgrace on Mary is quite extraordinary. In fact, under Jewish law, the penalty for unfaithfulness in marriage or engagement was really death. Adultery was taken very seriously. Joseph was well within his rights to stone Mary to death. In some parts of the Middle East and Africa, people are stoned for this very offense. But this man was not out for blood. His righteousness led him past the low road of revenge up the high road toward mercy. Joseph showed mercy. The human quality of righteousness produces mercy. Matthew 5, 6, 7, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Righteousness, the cultivation of obedience and effort to please God, is our most basic spiritual need. Mercy follows righteousness. When you are right with God, obedient to God, trying to please God, you then show mercy. In order to really take that in, we need to better understand God's righteousness. You see, the Bible most commonly speaks of God's righteousness as God's justice. The first thing you think of in terms of justice is judgment, of course. Justice involves the handing out of punishment for wrongdoing. When the Bible says God is just, it means God always does what is right, always does what should be done, does it consistently. We may not be able to trust humankind's justice, but we can always trust God's justice. There will be a price to pay for wrongdoing. But here is the paradox, the mystery about God's justice, God's righteousness. We cannot speak of God's righteousness as judgment alone. God's righteousness is all-encompassing. It includes God's love, holiness, faithfulness, and this is critical to understand, God's mercy. The Bible says, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. The Lord is a God of justice and mercy. God's mercy is God's pardon from sin. The best way to understand this is when you are the direct recipient of God's mercy, then you have a better understanding of what mercy is. Now, there are two reasons we can be assured that Joseph had an abiding relationship with God. The text tells us he was righteous, and through his display of mercy to Mary. Why was he so merciful to her? Maybe he was aware of his ancestry and reviewed all the sins in his own bloodline. He was a descendant of David. There were a lot of sins there. Maybe he took a look at his own life and realized how many mistakes he had made. There could have been many reasons Joseph showed mercy to Mary. One thing for sure, the acknowledgement of those reasons inevitably point to some heart knowledge of God. Joseph had to know God if he knew all the things he'd done wrong and hadn't been judged deeply by them. Joseph wasn't just righteous in keeping the law. He had a heart for righteousness. That's why I believe the angel came to him in a dream to affirm that righteousness. The angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife because she too has a relationship with the Lord. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Joseph was incredibly blessed in the midst of this crisis. He had already decided he was on his way out the door, but because he was a righteous man, he showed mercy. And in showing mercy, he stretched the capacity of his own heart. And God stepped right in. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, you see. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. So if you are trying to practice righteousness, even if you fail, God can raise you up again. There is value and much value in righteousness. When you think about it, the Christmas story is really a story of mercy. This is a story about love and joy and light, but it really does show God's mercy for us, his pity on our aimlessness, his compassion on our misery, his gift on our emptiness. God, in his mercy, brought Jesus to save us. In his mercy, took Jesus to the cross. If you have not benefited from God's mercy, then what I'm talking about may not touch you. But I want you to think about it right now for just a minute. Think about how merciful God has been to you. Because if you have been touched by God's mercy, then you know you've got to pay that forward. You know you have to pass it on. If you have received God's mercy, then God's mercy must work through you. If it does not work through you, then where will it work? We don't know much about Joseph, but you know what? We know a lot about Joseph, his righteousness and his mercy. So this day I pray for you a mercy Christmas. The mercy of God, new every morning. Because of his great love, we are not consumed. Be blessed, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will rain if you let love.